Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, for giving us traveling mercies and grace to be able to be here this evening. And as we come, Lord, and humble our hearts before you, and as we go and look into the scriptures and look into your word, we pray, oh God, that we don't read it just like we're reading a newspaper, that we are reading, oh God, and trusting in you that you would bring the inspiration so that the scriptures will become life to us. Father, we just want to give you all of the praise. We want to give you all of the glory. And we just want to thank you for what you've done for us in this end time, sending us this precious message so that we could be transformed, not reformed or conformed, but transformed. And we want to thank you for that, Lord. And so, Father, as we come and it falls into our lot to bring forth the word of God this evening, we just pray that you just bless your word, and we want to commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. I trust everybody doing all right tonight. Amen. It's a privilege to be able to be here by the grace of the Lord. Amen. We just thankful for Brother Jerry giving us the opportunity to be able to come by and just share the word of the Lord with you. Amen. And I appreciate you, Pastor. So if you will, while you're standing, let's go into the book of Nehemiah. We'll read a verse of scripture. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. And we want to go to verse 1. If you get it, say amen. It said, now it come to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and Aradium and the rest of our enemies. Notice what he said. And the rest of our enemies heard that I built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Wist I leave it and come down to you? And let's go to verse 15. No, let me just read verse 4. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then Sanballat and his servant unto me, sent his servant unto me in the like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Let's go to verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul in the 5th and 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to go over to just a little subject I've been ministering on for a while, even at my own assembly. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you if the Lord would just help us in that way. If you will, go to Nehemiah chapter 3. What I wanted to minister on is closing the gates. Amen. Closing the gates. And we'll just kind of work our way to it if the Lord would help us. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 3, and we understand, and I'm pretty sure you've been taught very well here by Brother Jerry and your pastor. These some things that not be foreign to you. But we understand the book of Nehemiah before we can get into what we want to get into. The book of Nehemiah is also, we can call it the book of restoration. Because in the book of Nehemiah, this is when the children of Israel, some of the there was the time for them to come out of exile when they was down in Babylon under the ministry under Daniel, when God showed Daniel the visions when the children of Israel will be going back to Jerusalem. So in Nehemiah's time, some of the ones that were still back in Jerusalem, Nehemiah found out that they was in distress. He found out they was going through hard times and real sad times, but in the walls, everything was ruined. So when Nehemiah heard about that, of course it touched his heart. He went to the king, he asked the king, and the king asked him, said, "Why are you sad?" He said, "Seeing that you're not sick." So Nehemiah began to explain, you know, "Why? How could I be happy when I see the place where my father's sepulchers is at, torn down and ruined? How could I be happy?" Is that right? You see, in Nehemiah's heart, it's the same as the ministry. The ministry is being saddened when they see the people saddened, because you want to know why are the people saddened. So in the hearts of the ministry is the Lord, give me something to help bring us out of that sadness, because it don't supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be the most joyous people upon the face of this earth. So Nehemiah, he talked to which he was the cupbearer. He talked to the king. The king said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Let me go back. Let me go back to my place and start and rebuild that wall back." And the king asked him how long it was going to take. And he made an agreement with the king and so forth, and let him know how long it would be. And then all of a sudden, you know, he asked the king, he said, "Give me letters. Give me some letters that I could take with me when I cross over certain places, because there will be people there to withstand him. But if he had the letter from the king, once he showed them that, they will have to pull back." Can we say amen? Amen. That's why, brother and sister, we got a message from the king. Amen. Amen. He already given us the authority that we can take control of any circumstance or any situation. We've been given the message from the king. That's why the prophet of God said the word of God will defeat the devil any place, any time, and under any circumstance. Didn't he say that? Amen. And that's what I believe. Amen. So we can see, I can see Nehemiah now, he's walking in authority. And if they begin to say something to him or try to stir something up, he just showed the letter of the king. Say amen. We can do the same thing. Do you believe that? We can let the devil know, "I'm here in the name of the king. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And Brother Branham said one statement that I love. He said, when you go overseas and when you go places, and if you know God told you to go, he said, every devil in hell got to move back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every devil in hell got to move back. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you notice, and I look at it like this, brothers and sisters, with the authority that the God has given in the bride, I don't believe that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. They'll fight, but they cannot prevail. Can we say praise the Lord? I look at it the same as in when we got situations in our lives, I look at it as the same that even when you walk into Walmart, when you get there, the doors open. We don't push the doors. We don't force the doors. They open. Can we say amen? And I believe as the bride of Jesus Christ walking up under the anointing, when them circumstances come up, you just keep walking, they open. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Because, you know, God is the one that got our back. I even looking in the book of Ephesians, you know, all of the weapons, the armor that they have on their outfits in Ephesians 6, none of that weaponry fits the back of you. It all fits the front. There's nothing in the back. That's why God said walk forward. Because who got your back? God got our back. Amen. Is that right? It's the same in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel got trapped between the Red Sea and the enemy was behind them. What did God do? He moved in between. Right. Is that right? He came a light. He was a light to the children of Israel, but to the Egyptian, it was a cloud of darkness. Right. So God stands in between. Amen. So I look at those things. That's why it shouldn't be no fear. Because fear brings doubt, and doubt brings defeat. Can we say amen? But faith ruins every bit of it. Faith brings victory. Faith brings courage. Faith brings comfort. Can we say amen? So we're so thankful for that. But if you notice, Nehemiah, amen, he went there, and I want to show you something here. Nehemiah, when he decided to go back to bring the restoration, first thing they needed to do, they had to build the wall first. They didn't build a city first. They had to build the wall first, because the wall is what protects them in the building. Once the wall is up, they can go and build the temple freely, because the enemy had to get through that wall so he can even get to them. So that's why protection, the wall, got to be built first. That's why the prophet God, that's why God brought us the word back. He brought us the restoration of the word. The message of the hour is not a replacement. It's nothing added new. It's a restoration. It's the same Bible. Same Bible that people have been reading over thousands and thousands of years. But what God had released to us in this day is an anointing. Can we say amen? That's why understanding and reading the seals, that what makes the book, the Bible, a new book. It's not a new book like it was written over. No, the things that has been hidden in there, now under this eagle anointing, has come a reality to you and me.
Amen.
Is that right? We understand down to the ages, all of the ones that went far on, they had the Holy Ghost. They got the same Holy Ghost you and I got right now. But they was under different anointings to things that they couldn't see what you and I see today. That's why we are a blessed people. But now, watch something here. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm going to read kind of fast, so just try to keep up with me if you don't mind. I'm not going to read the whole things, but it's something that I want to point out. In Nehemiah chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, it said, Elizabeth, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hanel. Notice it putting out, it said, the sheep gate. Now, let's go to verse 3. It said, but the fish gate did the sons of Hanasah build, who also laid the beams thereof. Go to verse 5. Next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, both their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Let's go to verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehadiah, the son of Pasah. Go to verse 13. The valley gate repaired Hunan. Go to verse 14. The dung gate repaired Meshullah. Then go to verse 15. And then the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kolazah. Now, if you go to verse 20, after him, Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece, from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Elisabeth, the high priest. What they was doing when they was building that wall, each one of them was in different sections. But what they supposed to do is keep building till it comes to a turn, where they'll join and where they'll meet together. So each one had a work to do on the wall. Now, if you go down to verse 13, the valley gate. Verse 24. After him repaired Benaiah, the son of Hanadad, another piece from the house of Azariah, unto the turning of the wall, even into the corner. Amen. Verse 26. Moreover, the Nethians dwelt in Ophiel, unto the place over against the water gate. Now, if you read all the way to verse 32, it talks about gates that they repaired first and the wall. But you know what's so interesting, brothers and sisters? It is 10 gates that's mentioned here that they had to repair. And what does a gate represent? A gate represents an entrance that you can come in and that you can go out. But we see here in the scriptures that they was repairing those things with the wall first. And I thought that it was so interesting that it's 10 gates that they had to repair. Then the prophet of God come and preach a message to us, the greatest battle ever fought. Then he spoke of 10 gates. Amen. 5 inlets to the flesh. See, smell, taste, and hear to our flesh. 5 inlets to our spirit. Amen. Thoughts, imagination, conscience, and memories, and affection. Those are 10 gates that he spoke of and showed us. And those gates, if they're not used correctly, it'll pull you away from God.
Amen.
Is that right? So now we understand the book of Nehemiah is the book of restoration. So God sent us a prophet in this day to bring us to total, complete restoration, to teach us about the gates.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to watch something in these 10 gates. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 6, I hope this is all right to you. When you go back to Nehemiah chapter 6, what we started reading, we're in the time of completion. And I'm going to show you in the scripture, that's what the devil hates, is completion. Because the devil knows that when everything is completed, he knows where he's going. That's why he got to fight and do everything he got to do to keep us from going. Think about it. The devil want to keep you and me from going where he used to be. Amen. He know all about heaven. He know the presence of God. He know how God reacts. The devil knows. He knows how glorious it was when he was there. And it's killing him so bad, he can't go back there. So he said, I got to do everything I can to get them people from going back there. Praise the Lord. That's why in the days in Genesis, they tried to build a tower that would reach the heavens, which was a man-made way trying to take people back to heaven. But that ain't the way that it goes, is it? You can't go back to heaven in a man-made way. We go back the way God, we'll go back to heaven the way God wants us to go back. And he brought us a way to go back. He give us the roadmap to go back to him. But the devil hates completion. Now, I gave you my title, Closing the Gates. Now, watch what the enemy is doing today. You know, there's a lot of negativity going around. That don't matter to me. But I know more better now, instead of focusing on negativity, I focus on the positives, what God is doing. Because if you focus on negativity too much, you're going to be giving the devil some glory. I don't want to give the devil no glory. I want to give God all the glory, don't you? So now it stirs the enemy up when he sees completion. Watch the scripture again. Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1. It said, now it came to pass when Samuel and Tobiah and Geshem and Adriam and the rest of our enemies heard that I built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors of the gates. And then we read verse 15 when it said that the wall was finished. In verse 16, it came to pass when all our enemies heard and all the heathen that was about us saw these things, they was much cast down. Now, long as they was building, when they started building, Sambalat and Tobiah, which is the two main characters that represents evil in the book of Nehemiah, as long as they started the work, they laughed at them. They picked at them. They mocked at them. They said, even if a fox would go across that wall is going to fall. You remember that? So they was picking at them. But when they seen it was getting close to closing everything up, that it was no more breaches, that's when they got mad. Because they realized, if they close the gate and there's no more breaches, we can't get in. Are you with me? So as long as they know they had a way to get in, an entrance to get in, they wasn't stirred up. But when they seen those gates closing, they got no more interest, that's when they get mad. Are you with me? And it's the same thing today. Even in our inlets, the inlets to your body, the inlets to your spirit. When you say no more longer, I'll let the devil use those things in my life, I'm going to shut those gates, that's when the pressure comes upon you. Can we say praise the Lord? That's when the pressure comes. Satan say, I see them. They are now pressing on. The devil say, I see them now. They are not looking at the things in the past. But now they're pressing on to the mark of the high calling in Christ. That makes the devil mad. Praise the Lord. Follow along with me now. But here's the thing. As this work is being done, going and progressing, let's go up to the go to me to Nehemiah chapter 13. There's a scripture that I was looking for, but we'll get back to it. And what I wanted to point out, when the work was being done, some of the brethren's heart failed. They had no more strength. And Nehemiah said, no, you got to strengthen your hands and go forth. And I believe that's where we're at now in this time and age, is some hearts are failing. I'm not talking about so much as the one going back into the world, but still in the message, but the strength in their hearts are failing. You know what Nehemiah did? He didn't rebuke them. He just encouraged them, keep building. Because you got to remember, friends, when they was building that wall, they had to have a sword in their hand and they had to have a brick in the trowel in the other hand. Other word, they had to work and fight at the same time. If they had to do it, you and I got to do it. We got to continue to work. Amen. Keep your sword in your hand, but you keep on working, doing what God tells you to do, because sometimes you got to fight. And that's what they did. Now, I just want to show you something about these gates. Nehemiah chapter 13. I just really love this. Sambalat and Tobiah, like I said, is two of the main characters that represents evil in the book of Nehemiah. How they mocked at them, how they talked about them and picked at the Jews. But then when Nehemiah leaves, you know the saying that we use, when a cat is away, the mouse come out and play. So when Nehemiah leaves, this man that tried to get Nehemiah to have a minister's meeting with him, that's what I called it. And Nehemiah said, I ain't got time for that. Shall the work of the Lord cease to come talk to you and know you just gonna only do me evil? Right. But this very man, when Nehemiah leaves, he comes through the gates and makes it, and they give him a position because he had allies amongst the children of Israel, and they put him in a place called the Great Room. Amen. So when Nehemiah comes back, you can read all these things. I'm just trying to keep from just going to a bunch of scripture. When Nehemiah comes back, he sees them. You know what he does? He kicks them out, his clothes, he gets rid of everything that pertains to that man. Now, think about it. The grace of God that is shown to the children of Israel brought back the restoration. Let them build a wall, then permit something like that to come in and sit amongst them. Amen. I believe we got to do the same thing as Nehemiah did. If they're not for us, they shouldn't be with us. Amen. Can we say amen? You have to withstand anything that is not for the gospel. You got to withstand it, not let it hang around you. Are you with me? Amen? That's where it goes. So I want you to watch something. So when Nehemiah comes back, he realized what God has done of this great restoration work. The children of Israel let things come through the gate, which they shouldn't have let come through the gate. See, what they realized, you got to realize something. When Nehemiah and them built the walls back, they did not build that wall with new material. They built that wall with the same material that was falling down. There was the very stones and rocks that Solomon used to build that temple. So the rocks was falling down. The only thing they needed to do is be restored, put back into the place where they're supposed to be so they can be a benefit. So the same thing happened today. You got some stones in the message. They might be set aside a little bit, but what they need to do is get back into their place where God could use them to be a blessing for the bride of Jesus Christ. It's not no new stones. It's a stone that was already there that just happened to push out of their place. So the message come to put us all back into our place. So Nehemiah, we see him. I want you to watch this now. After all of the restoration work done, and they allow the enemy to come in. Watch verse 15. Nehemiah 13, 15. In those days, saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves, laden asses, also wine, grapes, and figs, all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Now look what Nehemiah said. And I testified against them in that day where they sold victuals. He didn't say, that's okay, brothers. That's all right and that's fine. He didn't, no, no. I testified against them. Right. I tell you, I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an aggressive person. Do you know why he was aggressive? Because he was dealing with aggressive spirits. When you're dealing with an aggressive spirit, you got to be aggressive back with it. You can't pat them. You can't play with them. You got to get aggressive. Otherwise, you got to take off the gloves. Watch the scripture now. Verse 16. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish, all manner of ware, sold on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Notice fish, all manner of ware. They had everything, selling it. Now watch Nehemiah. He said, then I contended with the nobles of Judah, saying to them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath? I want you to watch the order that he went in. He went to the nobles, the leaders, the headship first. Why did y'all permit this? See, Nehemiah ain't playing no games. Why? I don't understand. You're profaning the Sabbath. Listen to what he says. Did not your fathers this? Did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city, yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath? In other words, all of this God done brought us through. All that he done restored. Why do you want to do this again? You know, I don't understand what goes on in people's mind. If they do something and they got wrong results, why they think if they do it again, they're going to get a good result? I don't get that. I really don't. If it was bad then, it's bad now. It ain't nothing gonna change. Praise the Lord. It's nothing but the truth. I want you to watch this now. Watch this. Verse 19. And it came to pass. He said, and it came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath. Watch Nehemiah. I commanded that the gate should be shut and charged that they should not open it till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set out at the gates that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now, watch what Nehemiah is doing. He said, I put my servants there. Men that's going to be faithful and under the same anointing that I'm under, that I can trust. I'm going to put them there to make sure the gates be open when I want them open. Are you with me? See, he's securing it. The problem was they would have never got in there to sell those things if the gates would have been up shut the way Nehemiah told them to do it. So when you open a gate, you allow the enemy to come in. That's why you got to keep the gates shut. Verse 21. Now watch now, verse 20. I love this. Watch. So the merchants and the sellers of all kind was lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Now, this is what I want you to get. The gates in our lives, even though you shut them, that will not stop the devil from hanging around. Are you with me? It ain't gonna stop him from hanging around. Because even when Nehemiah shut the gate, they hung around the outside. I'm gonna dramatize this for you a moment. The gates are shut, and you got the merchants still on the outside. You see, the children of Israel, they did not look at the word of God. They looked at feelings and emotions. I put it to you like this. Like now, what's coming up now is Black Friday. People don't care what they got to do, they just want a deal. They'll stand in the line 4 hours. They just want a deal. So right here, there was a Black Sabbath. They just wanted a deal. Are you with me? Could you imagine those merchants? We got some real choice grapes here. And they don't sell. You don't get them right now, they're going to go to bad. Then the children of Israel, we better leave that gate open. We better get that. We need that. That's a good deal. Looking at the deal, but not looking at the word.
Right.
Are you with me? Yeah. So now, watch something. When Nehemiah shut the gate, they still hangs around on the outside. I can imagine now the Jews probably like, man, you know, we need food and there's some good deals they give him. Then all of a sudden the merchant, fresh pomegranates, we're going to now, they was 5 shekels a pound, but now they are 1 shekel a pound. I can see the Jew, man, that is a deal. I mean, come on. Hey, look, I tell you what I'm going to do. That really is a deal. The gate is shut. What I'm going to do, because you know we ain't got much money, I'm just going to make a crack in the door and just reach out there and get something to pay for it and just get it back. So ain't no harm in that. But if he would have cracked that door, they would have rushed right back in because of the crack. So Nehemiah had to put men there to make sure the gates don't come open again. They stood there, walking around the wall. So what did Nehemiah have to do? Watch this right here. He said, they lodged up without Jerusalem once or twice. Verse 21. He said, then I testified against them, said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. You see, that's why you got to get aggressive. Amen. Nehemiah said, I can see Nehemiah looking over the wall. Look, I don't shut these gates. Why are you hanging around here? If you're going to stay, I'm going to come personally and lay my hands on you. Amen. Then they got away from that gate. That's why we're in the time not to play with demon spirits. You got to get aggressive with them. They'll hang around you if you play with them.
Come on. Amen.
Look what Nehemiah said. I will come and lay my hands on you.
Yeah.
They probably said, you are a mad man.
Yeah.
No, he said, I'm a God man. I'm a God man with a conviction and with a purpose. And I know how to keep evil from coming into the city. I know if I keep my morals and I keep my standard, it'll push these demons away. I won't bring nothing in my home that'll invite spirits to come through my door. I'll keep it out of my house. He was aggressive. Watch what Nehemiah did. Watch what he did. Verse 22. He said, I commanded the Levites, notice that they should cleanse themselves. At first, Nehemiah did a quick work, put some servants there to block the gates. But he knew the ministry, the Levites need to be there. But he put some servants there pretty quick. So that's why down through the church ages, reformers, reformers, reformers. But God said, no, I got to put a prophet there. Can we say amen? Nehemiah did something to hold the enemy off for a while, but he knew he needed a ministry at each gate so it'll stop the enemy. That's why God couldn't send a reformer today. Is that right? For a while, they'll hold off an enemy at a certain gate and a certain age. But when they die, the enemy comes right back in. But God said, this time, I'll send a prophet. He'll let the church know the gates of hell is going to come against you, but they won't prevail. He preached the message, amen, possessing the gates of the enemy. Let you know everything that you can, God has given you the victory to walk over anything to possess the gates of the enemy.
Amen.
What? I love this. I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves. Notice, it starts in the ministry. Clean yourself. I don't want you out there with no dirty hands, dirty life. Clean yourself. And that they should come and keep the gates. Notice it didn't say gate. It said gates.
Right.
To sanctify the Sabbath day, remember me, oh my God, concerning this also. Spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. It was 10 gates. And at each gate, Nehemiah put the Levites there. The ministry.
Amen.
Brother Jerry, at all these gates, that's why there's different ministries. You get a preacher preaching this area a lot, one preaching this area a lot, We're preaching this area a lot, and that's the beauty of fellowship in the fivefold ministry. You got to minister and know how to handle each gate when the enemy try to come through it. Praise the Lord. Some brothers are gifted in certain ways, where another brother is not gifted in. But when the devil try to come into that gate, he got something to say to stop them from coming through that gate. Every gate was covered. That's why God got a true fivefold ministry that will cover every gate. That the enemy try to come in, there is a ministry, God will block that gate. But you got to close them. One gate that they had here in Jerusalem is called the Dung Gate, which we read that in Nehemiah 3. It's called the Dung Gate, which means rubbish, garbage. Is that right? You know what they done? When there was a bunch of rubbish heaps up in the side of the Jerusalem in the wall, they opened the gate and throw the rubbish out. But they don't leave the gate open for the rubbish to come back in. Is that right? That's why we got to open the Dung Gate. Get the trash out. Get the garbage out. But once you throw it out, shut the gate and lock it. Because what we read in Nehemiah 3, when they built the gate, they locked the gate. So you got to lock it. Don't let it come back in.
Amen.
There's different gates in our lives. If you leave a crack, they're just enough for the devil to wedge. That's why you got to shut them and lock them. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to do the same thing, hang around it, and keep knocking.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Until you become aggressive. The greatest gate the devil faced, he knocked on the wrong gate, the door, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He hung around that gate. He hung around that gate. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned red. That devil was knocking at the gate. But all of a sudden, that gate said, that's enough. It is written, thou shalt serve, worship thy God only. And look, the devil left that gate for a season. He still hangs around, just like they hung around the gates of Nehemiah. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why even when you close the gate, he'll keep knocking. Some people got a fear gate. They just get nervous, fearful, real quick, real easy. And the devil knows it. And as long as he got that crack there, he'll keep bringing up things, saying things. Because of the crack there. But when he see your faith rise up on another level, you start patching up that breach. When you start closing the breach, the devil said, uh-oh, I ain't going to be able to get in no more. They see what I'm doing. Guess what? It gets worse. Things get worse is a sign that you're moving on.
Amen.
When things get, now, of course now, you got unconfessed sin in your life, all them gates are open. They won't shut. They're going to stay wide open and the devil will come in and out as he please. But when a confession is made, repentance is made, that door closes. But until then, them gates stay wide open. But I'm talking about the bride. When we say, I had enough. Said, I'm going to close these gates. Satan, you won't be able to use me with that no more. Satan, I'm going to close my temper gate. You're not going to bring in my temper. You're not going to stir my temper. You know that's a weakness that I have. But now I'm going to get that word of God. And I'm going to work on this gate so it can be closed. See, some people got temper gates. Some people got lust gates. Some people got anxiety gates. Some people got depression gates. Some people got impatient gates. It's all kinds of gates in our lives. And they'll always go back through the 10. See, hear, taste, smell. It'll all be the results of those 10 being open. Because when they are open, the devil can, demons can rush in. It'll all go back to the 10. Praise the Lord. That's why you got to close them and lock them.
Amen.
And then when he come knocking, don't say, cracking. Who is it? No, you know who it is. You know exactly who it is. You say, oh, it's you again. I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. But people want to crack the gates. Being on Facebook. To Facebook. Watching all of the stuff that's on there. Previews. Trailers of this movie. Oh, Devo, some people got a problem with movie gates. But watching all that, it just opened up the gate. Oh, a preview. Wow. Wow, I like to see that. The gate, the devil's start rushing in. Well, I know I can't go to the movie. Red box. Because the gate was open. Just by looking at all this stuff, now getting into that memory, getting into the affection. Oh, they're going to be a good one. I can't wait, I can't wait. Then the gate is open. When that gate should have been locked. Then you wonder why. What is going on? Because you opened the gate, brought it in the house, and it released the spirits all in the house. And God, what have I done? What is going on? And because we won't close gates. And we let the devil knock on them. There's all kind of gates, friends. And you got to know how to lock it, keep it locked. And when you hear that same knock come again, you got to know how to withstand it. Yeah. Closing the gates. Are you with me this morning, this evening? I'm just being honest and being real because this is completion time. That's why the devil gets so excited because he sees the bride is saying, I'm tired of going in the same circle.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's now time to go up and I'm going to shut this thing off. Right. Then more pressure comes. That means you're going right. But he want to put that pressure to say and beat you down and break you down. No, no, no. You just got to keep going.
Amen.
That's why the ministry, we stand at the gates. Amen. That's why we preach, we rebuke, we absorb, we correct whatever need to be done to keep the gate closed. When we see somebody trying to open the gate, we'll hit you just start hitting at it.
Amen.
That's why God got the ministry at the gate. You remember in Acts 23, I believe it is, when Paul and them was on the ship. When Paul and them was on that ship and Paul gave them a word of consolation. Paul said, men and brethren, he said, there's no one going to lose their lives, but it's going to be a destruction of the ship and so forth. He said, because the angel of the Lord come and talk to me, whom servant I am, he let me know that all would be well. He gave them a word of consolation. But did all of them believe what Paul said? No. Because you would find in that scripture, when Paul told them they would be okay, there were some brothers letting down a lifeboat. The Bible said under color. What they was doing after Paul said that, they said, we're going to get off the ship and there's a lifeboat right there. I'm getting off. When they were letting that boat down, Paul said, the men will perish if they get off the ship. Then the soldiers went down there and cut the ropes. They cut the rope and let the lifeboat fall away. Could you imagine those men? Man, this is our only way off of this boat. And y'all going to cut those strings, we could have got free. No, they were saving them. That's why the ministry got to cut lifeboats. People planning to do things. I'm going to escape. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. We'll take the word of God and we will cut the ropes. It's not to hurt, not to offend, but it's to save lives. Stay in the message. Stay in the word. Regardless of what people say. This is truth. But if you open up that gate of reasoning, it'll get wider, wider, wider. They say this right here is in the message. What was wrong? Whoa. A little crack. Before you know it, you start hearing this is wrong, this is wrong. And that devil just got that wedge going, tick, yeah, that's it. Tick, tick. Wider, wider, wider. It wouldn't be no problem in the message if people go to the source. If questions come up, let the ministers get together and let us figure out what this is, and we have worked together as ministry to deal with the question. But that ain't the way it went. It's people that in the message felt they got more revelation than the prophet of God, those are the ones that caused the problem. But that's why you always have a ministry to stand in that gate and withstand that thing, to protect the flock. But you got to close the gates. Don't leave no crack. No more breaches. Is that right? No more breaches. And when the devil say, whoa, I can't get in there and work with that attitude no more. I just could use that person with that bad attitude. But now they realize, this ain't getting me nowhere. They start patching it up with the word. And that's why, friend, when you see a little looseness, a little something come in your life, immediately get back to the word and close that gap. Because if you don't, it'll get bigger, bigger, and bigger. And demons rush in. And buddy, when they rush in, they love to occupy and abide. That's why we got to stop them before they get there. Close the gates. Can we say praise the Lord? Got a few more minutes, brother? A few more minutes. I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. This might be a little kind of directed to the young people, but I want to express this. In the minister's meeting we had a topic: preeminence, perfection, and modern events and modern music, how it affects the bride. One thing I believe, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. One thing I believe as a whole, what the enemy done succeeded in a lot of things to try to infiltrate God's church and been overlooked a lot is music. Some don't understand what worship and praise is, that it belongs to God. But the key thing, God don't accept any worship or praise. A lot of times we want to present things to God and want God to just accept it. But if it's not on his grounds, God will not accept it. That's just the way that it goes. Is that right? One of the biggest signs of the end time for us, Israel. Well, Israel to me is the biggest sign. And then we watch things that Russia do. We watch things that them countries do. But Israel really is the timepiece. But there's a lot of little things that the devil is using now to try to get into the assemblies. And I find music is one. You know, when Brother Branham had that vision about the end time, what did he see America doing? Dancing to rock and roll. What did he see the bride doing? Marching to Armored Christian Soldier. But a sign, it had to deal with music. Is that right? Now, if you go to the book of Daniel, let me just read this. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Now, we understand Daniel parallels the book of Revelation. The same as Ephesians and Joshua parallel. The same as Leviticus and Hebrews parallel. So we see Daniel, we can see the end time in the book of Daniel. And we understand Daniel started in with image worship. So we're going to have to go out with image worship. Is that correct? That's the Bible. So the Bible shows us a lot of things in the book of Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel, Gabriel's visit to Daniel. All these things is end time signs that's coming to pass. But if you notice, when it comes to worshiping the image, we got to watch the gathering first. It'll have to be a gathering. We already see the World Council of Churches, they're gathering together because we're up under the ride of the fourth horse rider, which what he have done under the fourth seal, he done got his religious powers, his political powers, and his demon powers. They all have come together. So that same pattern will have to keep working till today. Is that right? Now, if you notice in Daniel chapter 3, it'll show us a setup of what the devil is doing today. It said Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, which we know that was an image of Daniel. Notice that then Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. If you notice in this scripture, he did not go to the people first. He went to every office that runs the providence. He went to them first. Because once he get all of them in agreement, they will be able to have the enforcement to put it upon the people. He went to them first. Are you with me? That's what's been happening through the years. Our government is corrupt. The mayor, sometimes the mayors in the cities are corrupt. The city hall is corrupt. It's just corrupt. The sheriff department, corrupt. Maybe not every one of them in there, but it's corrupt. He get all of that under control first to get up under the one vision. Then now you can force the people. Are you with me? Watch what he does next. After he gets them, what brings the gathering? Verse 3. Then the princes and the governors and the captain and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Notice they stood there first. All of them there first. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, plastery, decimal, notice, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image." It's the same thing happened today. Everything is being pulled together through all kinds of music. When have you ever in this day had a president that will openly dance to hip hop and rap and do a dance called the Dougie? When have we ever in time had a president like that? Obama, he took a photo with every popular rock star, every popular rapper, every R&B. He took pictures with them. Justin Bieber, all of them. Now, by the young people idolizing those, them their idols, they see them taking a president with the picture with the president, it would pull the young people to that. I would be willing to bet anybody the majority of Obama vote come from the younger generation. The reason why, because the older generation can see behind what he's doing that he's up to no good. But the younger generation, he took a picture with Justin Bieber. Oh my, Beyonce sung at the inauguration and Jay-Z was there. All of this is a smokescreen. And it's all kinds of music. Never have it been a time until today. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You can say anything you want to say about country, bluegrass, rock and roll, and all of those things which are demon inspired, but there's one that rules it all, is rap. Rap music have infiltrated the mind of the young people. That's why you see them dressed the way they dress, talk the way they talk. I can promise you it comes from the influence of rap. Because let me explain something to you. All kinds of music. Back in the late 70s, I was real young then. Rap music was not accepted. Now, y'all know I'm not prejudiced, right? I hope you believe that. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not. But for the whites, rap music was not accepted. It was considered rebellious and just renegade stuff. It was not accepted for a long time. I was walking in, what time is it, brother? I was walking in Walmart one day, just minding my business. And I walked where the CDs and the music was. And I just happened to look and I seen a video that said, "We Got Your Children." The title just, okay. I picked it up. No, it said, "How We Got Your Children." That's what it said. I don't recommend nobody to watch that. I want to make that clear. Nobody. I picked it up. I took it home. I said, "It got to be something on here that I got to see." I said, "What is it?" And I stuck it in and I began to watch it. They start going down through the history of music. It was a lot of profanity in it. That's why I don't recommend nobody to watch it. And by the way, why I'm saying this, I don't understand why people on Facebook will recommend you to watch a clip and they already know profanity in it and then they recommend it to you to watch it. I don't get that. That's not right. Is that right? But this man began to explain something, "How We Got Your Children." He made a statement. He said, "You know what? He's a rapper." He said, "You know what?" He said, "Back in the days, y'all didn't care for us. He said, but now y'all need us." He said, in a commercial, a Coke commercial, a 7-Up commercial, he said, "When have you ever seen a rock and roll star do a commercial?" He said, "It'll be a rapper. He's because y'all need us." Go back 15 years when you go buy a car. 15 years ago, when we go buy a car, it come with factory rims on it, hubcaps. Most of the time, if we want a nice rim, we got to go buy the rim separately. Is that right? But today, when you're going past, even passing by a car lot, what attracts you more than the car? The rims. You say, "Look at those rims." You know what happened? In rap, when they start buying these old cars, putting these big 20s on them, and putting them shocks on them, making the car jump up and down and stuff, the car industry looked at the rims and said, "Wow, if you put them on the cars, our sales would go up." And that's exactly what they did. They took it from rappers and put it on the rims, and that's what you see make the sales go up on cars. It was influenced from rap. Why do you think these young boys around the message, they want to get an old car now, they don't want a new one, they just like to get an old one and fix it up? That's influence come from rap. That's where it comes from. I'm just being real with you. I really am. I'm just trying to show you the power of all kinds of music, mostly rap. Obama, what he's done through Christianity, because the attack is on the young generation. Hitler had a revelation. Hitler said himself, "Give me the music of a nation, and I'll get the youth of that nation. Let me know what the music the youth like. Give me that and I'll get them." Because if you can infiltrate the youth mind, as the generation go, it'll get worse, worse, and worse, because they are tomorrow. So that's what the devil got to do, attack the young people in their minds. And he's working through music and through fashion and through entertainment. And it's so appealing. You know what a lot of people don't like to admit about sin? Is that it looks good. It's appealing. And that's the trap. Well, I really don't see nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you open that wrong gate. Then reasoning just starts to rolling and rolling and rolling. That's why you got to shut up. All kinds of music. All right. I'm trying to finish, brother. I really am. I'm trying my best to finish. If you get tired, just wave your hand at me, then I know. I'm really trying to finish. So right here, in Revelation chapter 5, it says that when the Lamb came and take the brook, it said they sung a new song. Every age, from Ephesus up to here, if you study the history of music, there were songs that fit that age. That people would sing to get them through that time, because in that age, they had to have an anointing even through the music and to the worship that helped them to bear this pressure of that day. So every age, music changed. Is that right? When Moses and them come out of Egypt, they sung a song. But you watch what people can do. They sung a song coming out of Egypt. Then when the prophet go try to get the mind of God, then they start dancing to the wrong music. So it told you how quick things could change. Person can sing in church and go right out there and start listening to garbage. Is there not a conversion there? Same thing. Are you with me? But that's why I believe in the message. There are songs we sing. The world, no way they can understand it because they're not in the message. Because we're singing a new song. That's why God permit singers to rise in the message. The Cochran family, the LaFontaine, Brenda Lewis, people to sing songs for the bride because we got to sing a new song because it deals with the opening of the word and the world don't understand. We will never go wrong singing the songs out of that blue believer's book. But where we can go wrong if we're not careful, we're catching the songs of these worldly singers and bringing them to the church. If we're not careful, we can go wrong. Now, I want to explain myself. I'm going to explain myself perfectly. For instance, the song we sung, Shout to the Lord. A believer did not write that. Is that right? A message believer did not write that. Here's where the danger comes. Gifts and callings is without repentance. People write those songs because that is a true gift. You can get a song of a worldly singer that they sang it. Have you ever noticed you can get a CD and one song maybe on that CD really blesses your soul and the rest is garbage? Hello? The rest of it just be completely garbage. Because what happened, even though that person may not even be converted, but because they got a gift, something could have happened in their life. They actually received inspiration from God and they was able to write that song. And then that song blesses you. Here's the problem I find in the younger generation. When they sing songs like that, singing the song ain't the problem. Because the words could actually be blessing your soul. But what messed many up, they sang the song under the anointing of that composer. They'll try to sing just like them, act just like them, and be just like them. What they actually done took the spirit of that singer upon them and done brought it right in the church. And it's not praise and it's not worship, it's entertainment. And those are the things you have to be very, very careful, especially if you're a musician. You know, we get so holy and we don't want to admit when things bother us. Because we are ashamed. But I can promise you, you can be, see, new music might not even bother you. Because that wasn't your, we're not done keeping up with that. But that old stuff, that what you used to listen to. How many ever fell into a situation, it just seemed like you go out and eat. And that day, it seemed like the devil know you was going to be there. And he played every song you used to listen to. And you're like, my goodness, it just seemed like he knew I was coming. You trying to eat your food, everybody is smiling, and you giving a fake smile because you know you irritated. Like it ain't bothering you, you know it's bothering you. Then the time to be honest and just rebuke that stuff because it's the power of music. All kinds of music. And that's what's going on today. Brothers and sisters, I won't tell you where I was. I was sitting in a pastor's office. Message church. I was sitting in a pastor's office and in the worship service, I was listening to the drummer. I began to listen to his beat. I said, that ain't right. That is just not, I just felt just an eerie feeling. I said, that ain't right. So I went out and I preached and I preached and I preached. Then at the end of my sermon, that came back up in my thoughts of those beats. Then I start preaching on beats, how beats work and how they affect. I mean, I hammered it. Then when the pastor called the musicians up to play, you know what? That boy could no longer play the drums because the spirit that was on him was exposed. He could not hit him right. He was just all messed up because the spirit was exposed. It really was. I sat in another message church. People were praising, dancing. And unfortunately, the pastor had his son on the keyboard, and his son is not converted. And his son just come to church and play the worship service. When it's over, he goes home. Time when church is over, he come back. Then he'll play the closing service. I found that out later. I listened to them sing a beautiful song, and the guy was just playing normal. He was doing like this. I just happened to just look out the door, and while he was playing, again, he changed the tune on the keyboard, and he changed the chords, and he slipped it to R&B. And the people were so caught up, that's praising God, and when he made the change, they changed with it, and they had to start dancing in church. I said, my God, look at that right there. Sackler, I'm telling you the truth. That's why at these youth camps, I can sit and watch young people sing at youth camps, and I can tell if they're singing for entertainment or if they're singing to give God praise. I can just sit and watch them. Some of them get up there and squeak and strain their voice because they're trying to be just like that one that wrote the song. That is entertainment. That is not giving God praise and worship. All kinds of music. It's infiltrating. It's one of the ways the enemy is coming. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why I believe. I even told some young boys in my church. I said, you know what? I said, I want, because I know some of them don't have the Holy Ghost. But I know they're trying to serve God. I know that. You know what I tell them? I said, I want you to keep something in your mind. That you are not doing me a favor or the church a favor playing the instrument. I said, I want you to know, and I want you to know it flatly, that we don't need you. We doing you a favor trying to work with you. And I laid that pretty blunt. I want them to know that. I said, but if you can't respect your mama, you can't respect your parents, you can't get your grades in school, and you can't have respect in the house, you will not play this instrument. I don't need you. Other words, I'm doing you a favor. Exactly right. Because I don't want them to be up there because I'm gifted, they need me. No, I don't. Sure don't. If we got to clap our hand and stomp our feet, so be it. Long as the presence of the Lord comes down and he's pleased, I'm pleased. Can we say praise the Lord? Because it's, you know, I'm trying to close. I was at a youth meeting one time. I ain't gonna say where it was at. Man, they sung so beautifully. I watched several of them singing the song. It was a group song. I could pick out every one of them that listened to worldly music because their body was speaking another language from what they were singing. I said, well, look at that. I went to the pulpit. I said, how many of y'all enjoyed that song? Shout. I said, that sounded good. Then, I said, I wonder how many of you listened to worldly music and you was up there singing that song. It just, because here's where Burley stand. I don't want nobody to be comfortable in my church, can get up and sing a special and know they're listening to worldly music and it don't even bother their conscience. That's where I stand, Brother Jerry. That's where I stand. I want them to have respect for the house of God and not try to sing the bride anything. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. You're not giving it to me. I'm talking about to the Lord. But these are the things Even now, they got praise dancing coming in the church. I was overseas preaching a youth convention, and the place the youth convention was is this society let them rent the place. They let them rent the place to have the youth meetings. But they had some young people there that called missionary kids that travel around and supposed to be outreaching to the poor and stuff. They owned the property. To my surprise, everything was going good. And then they said, we're going to let the young people from that organization, they want to do a song for us tonight. And I said, that's respect. You're using wisdom, trying to win people. I said, fuck. And they said, we're going to let them come. And I had to preach that night. I was standing up there. I said, hey, man, everything going good. And all of a sudden, I seen four boys walking out with paint on their face, like clowns, white gloves and robe. I said, surely, you're not going to do what I think. And they did. How many of y'all have heard a song, Take Me to the King? Anybody? Take me to the King. That's a beautiful song. But they sure messed it up. They were doing it. And I'm watching preachers. Believers all got caught up in it. With tears. I'm like, seriously. Snatched them that quick. I had enough respect because it was an outreach. I didn't want to go up there and ruin it.
Yeah.
But I sure talked to the minister. I said, Brother, are you going to permit this in your church now? No. I just want to be sure. I said, that's wrong. You turn the church into entertainment. It'll no longer be worship service. It'll be entertainment. And it'll appease the younger generation. And there's a message church I know that started doing this. And I'm supposed to be going down there sometime next year. I'm telling you, I'm not going to hold my peace. It might be my last time preaching there, but I will not hold my peace. I'm going to be just like Nehemiah. I'm going to lay my hands on it. Because there is a gate God gave me in my life in the ministry to deal with music, because that's what I used to be, a professional disc jockey. And I can catch those spirits. Brother Jerry, I'm going to stand at that gate, brother. And I'm going to hit it. Because it's all kinds of music bringing everything together. And that hip hop and that rap. I'm just being honest with you. I was so shocked. One day I was at the gas station, I heard a lot of music. You know what? An old white guy got out with a cowboy hat on. Seriously. So you young people, watch what you, be careful what you're listening to. Be very, very careful, because them spirits, you can open such a gate to it no longer bothers you. You say, I just want to sing to Jesus, but he don't accept it. I want to sing what he accepts, don't you?
Amen.
That's what I want to do. May the Lord bless you. I think I'll hold you long enough. Musicians could come. May the Lord bless you. I'm closing the gates. And I believe we're in the closing time, the closing season, where the bride is looking at everything now. And she's drawing closer to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to close certain gates in my life that I left open too long and the enemy come in. Now I want to shut that gate. And I know he's going to keep knocking at it, but Lord, I want to shut it. May the Lord bless you. Let's give him another hand. Brother Jerry, God bless you. Musician. Praise the Lord.
Fade away.
be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Gene to discuss.